chapter number 14. We'll be reading verses 32 to 42. I will read the odd verses and you'll read the even verses with me. Mark chapter number 14, verses 32 to 42. And let's read verse 32 together. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, Sleepest thou, and couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless the message tonight. Give us exactly what we need. We love you. Be with all aspects of our church, our building program coming up. Be with our pastor. Empower him, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Your eyes stirs up within me, cries that say, I want to know. Death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you more. Oh, I want to know you, to know you more. Lord, I want to know you.
Thank you. Keep your Bible so you have them open to Mark chapter 14. We read the scripture already. If you were in the service this morning, you're like, and you're paying attention to the scripture reading, you're like, what's today? Bash Peter Day? Okay, anybody catch that? It's like, poor Peter. I like Peter. You know why? Peter was just like us. You know, you look at some of the people in the Bible, it's like Daniel. There's nothing wrong mentioned about Daniel. Joseph, you look at Joseph, it's like, man, if I had his brothers, it would have been different. It would have been a different story. But Peter made some mistakes. Peter was just kind of out there. He was just that kind of guy, but yet Peter was a great man. But we are going to look at him today. We're not going to bash him too heavily. As a child, as you look back at sometimes, you look back at your childhood and how some things that you did, how they impacted your parents, right? Sometimes we made them mad. I remember when I was in high school, before I dropped out, I got one of my last report cards, and they sent a letter in the mail, and I happened to get it before my mom did, and it was showing a bunch of F's. I realized something. It's hard to actually pass a class if you don't go, and I thought, she is not going to see this. And I didn't do a good job of destroying the evidence because a little bit later, she was standing there with it in her hand. That was not sweet fellowship, okay? She was upset. Sometimes we've made them sad. Occasionally, we get it right. We make them glad. Sometimes we frustrate them. Sometimes I hope that we encourage them. But there's one thing I think that stands out from the rest that as a child you would never want to do, although I'll be honest with you, we've all done it. We don't want to disappoint our parents. To do something not where they're mad, not where they're sad, but where they're just like, oh, really? Now, they may not say that, but you know they're feeling it. There's something in a child that makes that they want their parents to be proud of them. You know, that's why if they draw something, they're going to come home, and I like when they do this, but I hate when they do it. I drew you something. Wow, that's beautiful. And then they ask this question. Do you know what it is? It's like, no, I have no clue. And then you're looking at it like, oh, Lord, please help me realize. They want you to be proud of what they're doing, okay? And so in our relationship with God, I don't think any of us want to disappoint him. Now, if all of us were honest, me being honest also, there are times when we have disappointed him. But I don't think that's what we want to do. You see, the Bible tells us when we're saved, we are children, the children of God. You know, we sing that song, I'm a child of the King. That means we have that relationship where God is our Father, where we are child of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that we do not want to disappoint him. In the text that we read, Brother Chim read for us, Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. As usual, he comes with his men on the outer portion of the garden. He was down to 11. He left 8 of them. And then he goes a little further with his 3, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John had a little bit more of a leadership level with him. And so he brings them with him. Now, as he's going there to pray, Jesus is starting to feel in his human body the strain of what is coming. Not that he didn't want to do it. Not that he was trying to bail out on it, but we understand that Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And he had the emotions and the feelings we have. And so Jesus is feeling it at his time, and you realize here he has his three key guys with him. Jesus reveals himself to him. They see him in a different way. You realize he took the three of them up on the Mount of Transfiguration. We preached on that probably a couple months ago. When those three were with him in the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' glory was revealed to them. He was transfigured in front of them, and they saw him for really who he is, his glory. Now they're seeing Jesus revealed to them in another way. They're seeing him in his humanity. They're seeing his sorrow, and they're seeing his grief. And he tells them to wait as he's going a little bit forward, and he tells them, please, watch and pray. Now think of this. I understand he's God and all that, but he was human, and this was, in a sense, in his humanity, a time of need, a time when his men can show their commitment to him by watching and praying and not letting him down. And yet what happened? Fell asleep. He comes back, and they are knocked out. Jesus says, could you not watch, pray 1 hour? I'm asking for 1 hour. By the way, these are the same men. Now, Peter was always up front with them, who said, no, you're not going to die, and I'll die with you, and I'll stop this, and I'm not going to let it happen. And yet they couldn't watch and pray for 1 hour. In Jesus' time of need. Jesus had been with the men for 3 years. And yet, as the end is coming, and as he really, really kind of in a way needed them, now he always needed them, but you know what I'm saying here, they couldn't be here for him. On a human level, this must have been a serious letdown. These weren't just any guys pulled off the street. Jesus had invested in these. These were the men who, when Jesus left, would go out and they would get the churches going, and they would spread the gospel, and they would give their lives, and Jesus gave everything to them. They were not just some nobodies. Not that anybody's a nobody, but I think you know what I mean by that. In fact, Jesus was in such agony, it says that he sweat, and his sweat was, as it were, blood. And yet he comes back and they're sleeping. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. I believe, in a sense, now Jesus understood their humanity. The third time he goes, okay, enough, you can just sleep, because he knew it was coming. But I wouldn't want to be someone like that, that would let Jesus down. And I'm not getting on them. But as we look at the scripture here, I think we're going to see some things that can help us. I wonder if the disciples ever looked back at their life and thought to this time. You know how we think back like, man, I blew it there. I wonder if they ever looked back at this time and thought, I should have been there. You know, we want to be there for our families. We want to be there for the people we care about. But we really want to be there in their time of need. In their time of need. And they could have been there, but they weren't. Now I want us to think tonight, have we ever disappointed him? And yes, we would all raise our hands. But when that happens, that ought to just be a little quick side note. That should not be the direction of our life. But as I look at the scriptures here, I notice six keys that can help us and keep us from disappointing the Lord. And I want to note those to you tonight in the brief time we have left. I want you to notice, first of all, that we need to stay awake to spiritual faithfulness. We need to stay awake to spiritual faithfulness. Look at verse 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? You know what he was saying? This is all I wanted from you. All I wanted was 1 hour. It's like, could I not even count on you for this one little thing? Couldn't you be faithful to me in this right here? I mean, I asked you, I don't think it's too much to ask. Couldn't you just do it? All he wanted was 1 hour. He wanted them to be faithful to this one request. And yet, he couldn't do it. The men who said, "We'll die with me." By the way, these guys weren't wimps. They weren't walking around in pants so tight they couldn't breathe. They didn't want to dress like a girl. They weren't afraid of saying, "I'm using the men's restroom." Okay? They weren't politically correct. These were guys. By the way, if you have little boys, let them be guys. Quit ripping their masculinity out of them. Come on, man. Let them be boys. I don't like when my boys get dirty. Dirt is good for them. You know, we have kids that get sick so easily because you're trying to keep every germ in the world. It's good for little boys to eat dirt. Okay? Well, he's got a boo-boo. Now, look, I don't want him to break their bones or anything, but a little scrape is good for him. Okay? And that has nothing to do with anything, but I thought I'd just throw that in. If your little girl gets a boo-boo, give her a hug. But by the way, she ought to toughen up a little because she's going to be married one day, and she desperately needs it, all right? Now, these men were not faithful during that hour. They're sleeping when they should have been awake, and they should have been praying. What's the application for us? So many people will let us know how committed they are to Christ. But let me ask you this. They can't even be faithful to church. You ever notice that? All means, "I love the Lord. I'm in. I am all in." And they'll miss church services like that. Okay? I was going to say, how would you like it if me as the pastor didn't show up to church? It's like, you haven't been here the last 5 weeks. Calm down. I was sick. By the way, I came to the services when I could. I didn't miss that many. Okay? If you get sick, that's fine. But that's funny. I was looking about sick day. We get sick days here, and I never take them. I've taken all my, every year, I never take my sick days. I may get sick and go home a couple hours early, except for 2010. My appendix ruptured, and they didn't realize it was ruptured. I was sick for weeks. I took all of my vacation days for like the last 8 years that time. And now for the last 8 years, I took all those this last month. So I'm even. But look, you know, if you have a job, think of it this way. Do you miss as many church services, you know, percentage-wise, that you miss work days? You say, "Oh, no, I miss way more work days." Okay, well, that's fine. But just faithfulness. And I understand we get sick and things of that nature. But are we faithful to service of the church? Sometimes we say we're committed, but we can't even come to soul winning. Now, some of you are new and you don't understand what that is, and we'll encourage you this summer when we get to summer saturation. But some of you, you've been around here for a while, and you used to come, and you don't come anymore. Okay? You know, we're all responsible to do it. We have 2 times. So I work on Tuesday. You can come on Saturday. Well, when's the last time, just when you were out and about, you had a track and you just handed someone a track? We're all responsible to do it. And let me say this. Some of you teenagers, you shouldn't just be sitting around at home on Saturdays. Let me give you some Myers-ology for a minute. I think all of our teenagers ought to be here on Saturday and be on a bus route. As soon as my children got old enough, they're on a bus route. You say, but, you know, they'll be around people that cuss. Well, listen, I have in-laws. Okay. You know, I want them to see if sometimes they go into bad areas or a bad home and they see things that they're not used to. It's good for them to see that because they might be able to grow and be an encouragement to somebody. Okay, but are we faithful to sharing the gospel? Are we faithful to tithe and give? Well, you know, I look at my budget. If I have enough, do we give? Are we faithful to God's word? I mean, are we really faithful to it? Do we get in it? Because these are the things that are going to help us to stay faithful. Are we faithful in how we live? Not that we're perfect. Are we faithful in serving our ministry? Some used to serve and we don't do it anymore. Listen, there are things to do around here. And we're not trying to take all your time, but when you're here, you can find a place and get connected and serve and be an encouragement. You don't have to be a serpent. Look, you do not have to be a super Christian, but everybody can be a faithful one. All it takes to be faithful is, you know what? You volunteer and you show up and you do your best. That's all it takes. I like people you can count on. You know, sometimes the people with the most talent are the people that you can count on the least. Because they rely on their talent, and so they don't follow through on character issues. I'll take someone that has less talent, but says, "I'll be there, and I'm there." That's what God wants. You know how the church goes forward? All of us just working together, finding our place, and just simply being faithful. Before we move on, I want you to understand, God wants us to be faithful. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." It seems like all the people that would live for you, they're falling away. He goes, "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." You want to know something about someone? Ask them. They'll usually tell you. But he says, "But a faithful man, who can find?" The verse we know, we talk about in stewardship time. "Moreover, it's required in his stewards that a man be found faithful." I don't know about you, but one thing I'd like to hear from the Lord is like, you know, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not super. But just, you know what, I found what God wanted me to do. I decided this is what God wanted me to do, and I'm just going to stick with it. I'm going to be tenacious, I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to be faithful to everything that God has for me. If you're new, you ought to say, this is the kind of life I want. If you've been here for a while, maybe you slipped in some areas, you're like, I'm going to get back to being faithful and just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But we need to stay awake to spiritual faithfulness if we're going to make sure that we don't disappoint the Lord. Number two, we need to stay alert to spiritual danger. We need to stay alert to spiritual danger. Look at verse 38. He says, "Watch ye." Watch has the idea of being alert. You know, the watchman. What did the watchman do? Kept his eyes open. They'd have watchmen on the wall. What did he do? As everybody was sleeping, he was looking around to see if he could spot the enemy. Because if the enemy was coming, he was going to sound the alert, and everybody was going to get ready, and they were going to fight. We got to watch. We live in times when spiritual danger is everywhere. Now, there are some spiritual dangers we're going to have to fight different ways. I don't know what the bill number is. There's a bill out there. It's already passed the first rung of being a law in California, which would, if you take it at face value, would make it illegal in California to sell the Bible. So I've never heard of that. We need to wake up. It's already passed. 50 to 18. By the way, California is going down the drain with all these different laws and stuff. And if we don't like it, maybe we should open our eyes and quit listening to the world and vote correctly. We ought to just get sick of all these nutcases. California has a supermajority. Of liberals, and they're going to vote in whatever they want. If this pass, now, they're saying, no, we're not going to do that, but don't let them fool you. If we get up here and say anything negative against homosexuality, transgenderism, if we say that if you're like that, God can change you, that's illegal. Okay? It's crazy. And we need to do something about it. But we have more danger than that. That's a different type of danger. But there's a danger to our soul that we fight every single day. The fact of the matter is, most Christians live with their spiritual eyes closed. We just don't see it. We get involved with, we let our kids get involved with stuff that can ruin them if they're not careful. What happens sometimes, we know it's right, but we get so complacent with where we're at, we put our guard down. Spiritually speaking, in our times, we cannot put our guard down. We can't. Used to be, I mean, sin has always been around, don't get me wrong. But boy, with the proliferation of technology and everything that's going on, it is so much closer today and so much easier than it used to be. You have to understand something. We have a spiritual enemy, Satan. By the way, Satan's real. He's not some guy in a red suit and smokes a pipe and has a tail with a arrow at the end. He's a spiritual enemy of God who hates you, who hates the Lord, who hates Christians, and he's after us. We live in enemy territory, this world, this system. Why do you think that bill is even trying to pass? Because they just have this way of thinking in the world that it would make it illegal. If somebody was having thoughts of transgenderism and they wanted help to get away, to get out of it, it would be illegal for them to seek counsel. Now think about that. And it would be illegal to have any type of material that's anti that, such as the Bible. You say, oh, that's not what they're going to do. Once it's in the law book, you watch. The battle in our country, if our freedoms are being lost, is going to be fought in California first. Okay? But we have those kind of spiritual dangers everywhere here. We better keep our eyes open. We have an, the sad thing is, we have Satan, we have the world, and then we have the flesh. We have an inward enemy that says, I like that stuff. I want to be involved in it, and we have to fight it. The point is, we have to stay alert. Peter and them were not aware. How can you watch when you're asleep? Not very well. We used to do security when I was in Bible college. When I was in Bible college, we had crazy hours, Brother Pichardo. We probably averaged 4.5 hours sleep on a good night, 5. That was every day. We were tired. And we would, so a bunch of us were working third shift doing security. And we were at the McCormick Center. The McCormick Center is a big convention center, and they would get shows there. And so a bunch of us were working there. I was the relief guy. I basically would just walk around, do whatever I want, and then I'd periodically go give the guys their breaks. And I had to go to the college students. They would be guarding a door, and I'd go up, and I'd wake them up. Hey, wake up. It's your break time. It was third shift. I'm thinking, how in the world are you keeping anybody safe if your eyes are closed? It's not happening. They were not alert to spiritual dangers. We're bombarded by the media, which mocks everything that we believe, and yet we still like these guys. And this isn't the message, but let me just throw this out there. Be careful what you watch. Quit watching these liberal, I was going to say idiots again, but I'll save that for only one guy on the internet. These liberal nutcases that are against everything that's right and holy and make jokes about it. You know, people are profane. Well, my wife and I were away. We went to a little, like a flea market or whatever. What do they call it in the streets? No, it was a swap meet, like in the middle of the farmer's market in San Diego. And it was just so happening, it was the day they were having all those, the day everybody was protesting the gun thing. Now, look, the guns don't kill people. People kill people, but I'll just throw that out. But if they want to protest it, that's fine. But can I just tell you something? Their signs were vulgar. They weren't just like anti-gun, which is that they say, hey, you know, guns kill people. If they want to say all that, okay. They were vulgar, perverse. It was disgusting. Even if I would have wanted to believe their message, which I don't, I would not have respected them just based on their signs. And these were school people. And just really, that's where we're going. That's what people consider normal in this society. You know, we most Christians don't have a Christian worldview. We have a CNN and MSLSD, okay, because they're nuts. All those, we have their worldview because that's all we listen to. We read the news. I don't even listen to the news anymore because, number one, it's depressing, okay? And number two, most of it's just lies and negative. But the media bombards and makes fun of anything that is of faith. It's a danger. And don't get me started on the public school system. You have to be very careful. We are inundated by entertainment, which is anti-God. You know, we love these guys. And look, they're not my enemies because I understand they're not saved. They don't know the Lord. Of course that. They're acting just like an unsaved. But on the other hand, I'm not going to let them influence me. Look, if you could throw a basketball through a hoop, do it. But don't tell me how to live. Okay? And don't tell me you're against something and you can't even give me five principles why it's wrong. I don't want to get political. We're tempted by technology, which gives us access to the most godless and perverse things you would ever see. We're overrun by the most worldly brand of Christianity that has ever been seen. And it's just so easy to get caught up in it. What do we have to do? I'm not saying let's be mean-spirited. I'm saying we have to be spiritually alert to this, especially if we have children. Let's be spiritually alert. There's danger out there. Stay close to God and know His word, which leads us to the next point. If we're going to not disappoint the Lord, we need to stay alive by spiritual communication. He said, watch ye and pray. Pray. That'll help us right there. One of the reasons we disappoint Him when we don't have the energy to do what He wants us to do is because we really do not have a relationship with Him at all. We need to be close to the Lord. We got to spend time with Him. If we don't spend time with Him, we're going to get distant. Listen, if you're married and you only talk to your wife once every month, well, your marriage would probably be a lot better. Your marriage would be a disaster. There's got to be closeness there, right? I mean, how many of you would leave your house on Sunday and say, Sunday night, and say, okay, honey, I'll see you next Sunday? Now, some of you think that's a good idea, but it's not. Okay? Believe it or not, in some instances, believe it or not, your spouse actually wants to be with you. During this time I was sick and I was home a lot more and I started going back to work, my wife's like, I actually missed you. I actually got kind of used to you being around the house all day. Even though you were in the room, you know, you're sick, I kind of liked having you around. What about you? And I'm like, I really enjoyed being at work. So I missed you too, babe. I'm going to quit tomorrow. But you know, your children, believe it or not, they really want you around and want to have a relationship with you. And you know who else does? The Lord does. The Lord doesn't want us to just show up to a church service or two. The Lord actually wants us to spend some time with Him. And I know spending time with God sometimes can be so daunting. It's like, I just feel so unworthy. Listen, my life verse would be, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, he is mindful of us. And for some reason, unbeknownst to us, except for what the Bible tells us, God actually wants us to be close to him. Why don't we take advantage of it? It'll help us in so many ways. I like the phrase, and I think we have our teen club, walk with God, just be with him. Next, we need to stay ahead of spiritual landmines. We need to stay ahead of spiritual landmines. He said, watch and pray. Now he gives us something this will help us with. Lest you enter into temptation. The Bible tells us a lot about temptation. Jesus told us that we should pray that we can avoid temptation. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, we look at the Lord's Prayer, that's not a rote prayer. We say the words, but the principles we should pray. And one of the things we should pray is, Lord, help me to avoid temptation. Oh, I'm strong enough, I can fight it. Listen, I'd rather avoid it. Paul told us that we can always have victory over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, if we're tempted, God says we can get through it. God says we can get through it. God will never allow us, if we are right with him and walking with him and being where we're supposed to be, God will not allow us to be tempted to the point where we cannot overcome it. And then James tells us the nature and the power of temptation. James 1:14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He even gives us a secret. You know where the temptation comes? It is something that is a desire, a weak desire in your heart. There are some things people look at and say, I wouldn't be tempted to do that sin. There are other sins that you would be like, that would resonate with you, right? If I backslide, you'll never see me driving my car listening to rap music. I don't listen to music that I could actually sing. I could be a rap singer. I know how to hold a microphone upside down. Not happening. And it's not singing, it's talking with an attitude. Listen, I could talk with an attitude. But now, you listen to certain old rock and roll groups, that's what I'd be listening to, Tim. Because that's what my flesh liked. So when Satan's trying to tempt us, he's not going to throw something out there we wouldn't like. Listen, if I'm on a diet and I'm going to break my diet, it's not going to be with seafood. I hate seafood. But man, drop a pizza. I'm in. That's not food. Okay, so he's told us all we need to do about temptation. By the way, there are two types of temptation. There's one that just happens in the course of our lives. You'll be at work or something, and something happened. I remember when I was in Bible college, the vice president said when he was a college student, he worked at a hotel, and they would clean stuff. And he was called to a room to do something. This was why he was at work. He had to go in there. And when he went in there, the lady threw herself at him. Now, he walked away from it. He said, fix your own pipe. I'm out of here. Now, he did not put himself in that position. He was just living his life, and it came his way, and he's like, he had a way of escape. But there's another type of temptation. You know what this one is? We place ourselves willingly there. And then we say, this temptation's too strong. Now, first of all, it's not. But this temptation's too strong. No, it's not too strong. You just weren't careful. You put yourself in a bad spot. You know, if alcohol was your thing, hanging at the bar is a bad idea. Hanging around with friends that are drinking, really bad idea. No, I'm not drinking anymore, but my 9 friends are. I'm going to go hang with them, and I'm going to teach them how to be sober. Listen, 10 people will be drinking. You got to be very careful. We can overcome temptation, but we have to be aware because it's out there. If you know a landmine's out there, you're going to be very careful, aren't you? If you know there's danger, you're going to keep your eyes open. There are landmines out there, and we need to stay ahead of them. Let's not get into temptation. Why? Because we need to see the end of it. In James chapter 1 and verse 15, after the verse we read, he says, then when lust hath conceived, this desire we have, it's tempted, and then it conceives. It's almost like it brings forth a baby if we give into it. What's the baby? It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See it for what it is. We think, oh, you know, how cute. Someone was flirting with me. How cute. That's not cute. Well, that inflates my ego. Danger, landmine. Let's be very, very careful. Next, we need to stay away from spiritual gullibility. We need to stay away from spiritual gullibility. Let's read the part of the verse, and then I'll explain it to what I'm getting to here. He says, but about temptation, lest you enter into temptation. Then he gives them a thought. The spirit truly is ready. Now, stop right there. That's a good thing. The Spirit's ready. Now, we'll get to the bad part, the next point. In other words, they were willing. They wanted to do the right thing. Did you get that? You want to do it. You know that can be a danger? Because most people will get their conscience be cleaned by the fact that, well, I have a good spirit. This is what I want to do. That's not enough. Having a willing spirit is not enough to get you through. It's a start. Don't get me wrong. It's a good start, and you need to have a willing spirit. But I know a lot of people that have willing spirits that don't do anything. Because after all, I've got a good spirit. And what happens is we let our guard down and we're gullible. That's step one in doing anything that you're supposed to do, is to be willing to do it. I'm willing to do my part. Now will you do it? I'm willing to, by the way, everybody in America is willing to give their life for Jesus, because they're not going to be asked to do that. But go to a Muslim country and tell me if you'd be willing to do that. I'd die for him. Okay, are you going to be here on Thursday night? You going to read your Bible tomorrow? See, we're not pushed like other countries are. Listen, you know, when we think of the Dark Ages, when Christians were persecuted, and they were heavily, and primarily by the Catholic Church, the Dark Ages. And we think about that and say, I'm so glad we're not in the Dark Ages. Statistics will tell you in the last century, more Christians have been martyred than ever. We just don't hear about it. Oh, the fake news will tell you about all kinds of other nonsense going on in countries, but, you know, they'll tell you, let's reach Muslims if they're here. I'm not against that. But, you know, if we're closing our eyes, if we don't see the persecution of Christians in other countries, it's starting to happen in China a little bit. Not to the extent of other ones. But see, we're okay because we live here and we don't face that. What if like it is in China with Brother Eddie Ray, they have service every week somewhere else? What if I said, okay, we'll have a secret network to let you know where we're having church next week, because we can't let the government know where we're meeting. And we have to have a doorbell, and you have to ring the doorbell, and we got to know you before we let you into the service, because we don't know who's a government spy and who isn't. See, we have it easy here. And we think, well, you know, I'm willing. Are we really? Don't be gullible to think you're a good Christian just because you're willing to do something. Now, by the way, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just, let's be willing. But we're going to have to make it the next step. An inward willingness without a decision of the will to follow through is worthless. You understand that? At some point, it's got to become a part of your life. At some point, we got to say, you know what? This is what God wants me to do. I'm willing to do it, and here is how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be committed to do it regardless of how I feel. That's what we're looking for. Peter and them, I know they were willing. I mean, come on. They forsook, this morning we saw, they forsook all and followed him. These weren't bad guys. They were going to turn the world upside down. But in this instant, their spirit was willing, but they didn't quite get to the will. Everyone talks a good game. Have you ever thought that? By the way, God doesn't want people who are willing. God wants people who will. Let me say that again. God doesn't want people who are just willing. God wants people who will. Because people talk a good game, but they don't follow through. It was probably about, 10 years ago, there was an overtime game. It was Seattle Seahawks and Green Bay. They went to overtime. The way it works, football in overtime, at that time, first team to score wins. So they flipped a coin to see who gets the ball first. And you want the ball first, right? Because the first team to score wins. They flipped a quarter, and the Seattle quarterback said heads, and it was heads. And they asked him, what do you want? He said this, we want the ball, we're going to score and win. He said that right out in the open. Everyone on television heard it. And what did he do? He went out there and threw an interception. The other guy picked it off, ran all the way back for a touchdown, and they lost. Okay. Saying you're going to do something and actually doing it are two different things, right? Let's not be gullible enough to soothe our conscience by saying I'm willing without actually following through. Let's do what we can to follow through. And lastly, stay attentive to spiritual weakness. Stay attentive to spiritual weakness. This is why that first part of that verse, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's a fight, isn't it? I mean, I want to, but we're all there. I want to do this, but man, when it comes down to actually doing it, I have an enemy, and it's not just Satan, and it's not just the world, it's my flesh. And my flesh is trying to keep me from doing it. Here are people, and they haven't been used to coming to church regularly, and they'll say, we'll see you next Sunday morning. I'll be there. I love it. I'm in. And then their alarm clock goes off. And it's like, I'm tired today. So I know, Brother Myers, you're different. Your alarm clock goes off, and you jump up and do 5 dances and say, woo, can't be to church. Listen, my alarm clock goes off. It's like, I wish I could come to bed. I don't have no idea why anybody would come listen to me. I'd rather stay home. That's why I want to stay home. So I hit the snooze button, and after one snooze, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Listen, we all fight it. We want to do the right thing. We commit to it. But as we commit to it and we want to do it, we have to understand we have to fight the flesh. Be attentive to spiritual weakness. Your flesh is going to fight you. Don't, and we'll be done, don't live by your feelings. Please, please, don't live by your feelings. There's too many roller coaster Christians. We've all been there to a certain extent. I just hope your roller coaster is like this and not like this. One week, man, I am going to Antarctica, and I'm going to win every Eskimo to Christ, and I'm going to wear a jacket. You didn't get that. And then the next week, it's like, I don't feel like going to church. What happened to the Eskimos? They need Jesus. Right? Our emotions, now I'm getting it, because our emotions are always like this, right? Come on. Don't look at me that pious look. You have horns, they're just invisible. Our flesh is always going to be like this, but we need to say, stop it. If we only come to church when we're excited to come to church, we're not going to be there all the time. Now, there are times it's like, I can't wait to be there. There are other times it's like, I can't wait to go home. But that's emotion. You know, what do we do? Say, you know what, flesh, you're not going to control this here. If this is what God wants, and this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm staying. You say, what do you do when you don't want to come to church? It's easy. Ready? get up, get dressed, come to church. There you go. You say, am I not a hypocrite when I'm doing that? No, because you know what a hypocrite is? We don't know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is an actor. Yeah? A hypocrite is someone that played a part. They're not really that part, but they played it. If you come to church, we don't feel like it, you're not a hypocrite, you're a Christian. You were a Christian, that's why you're coming. You just didn't feel like coming. I get that. Sometimes I can't wait to see my family. Other times, can't wait to get to work. But we just live too much by emotions. So what do we do? Let's just, hey, Lord, I'm in. This is what you want me to do. The flesh is weak. It's always going to be weak. So what do you got to do? Just fight it. Just say, I'm not going to do what the flesh says. I'm not going to give into it. And the question is this. And by the way, if you're here on Sunday night, I think you're here because you have a love for the Lord. And I think you want to do something for the Lord and you want to have a relationship with him. I understand that. And I commend you for it. We have a great group of people in this church. But we're all going to fight it. Peter gets a lot of slack. He gets a lot of flack in the Bible, doesn't he? But I'll tell you what. The book of Acts is about two people. Peter and Paul. Not Peter, Paul, and Mary, okay? Peter and Paul. Why? Peter was a good man, but with Peter, you got what you saw. He was real. But you know what he did? When he made a mistake, he got up. He disappointed the Lord. He denied the Lord, but guess what he was doing 50 days later? Revival at Pentecost. This morning, we looked at Peter. He had a half obedience, but what happened? When it was all said and done, Jesus said, fear not. You're going to catch fish. And Jesus said, and Peter said, I'm in. And he forsook everything and followed him. So we're all going to face it. The problem is, are we going to follow these things that will help us, these keys that will help us to not disappoint the Lord? Let's be faithful. Anybody can be faithful. Let's be alert to the danger, the spiritual danger of our days. And I'm not trying to be negative, and I was a little bit negative. There's a lot to be negative about, but I'll just tell you what, if you're saved, it's all positive. You know, lately I've been reading a lot about the book of Revelation. Many commentaries, I've been reading through the book of Revelation over and over and studying that. And it's like, guess what? There's a lot of dark stuff in there, but you know what I like about it? We win. They lose. Let's walk with God. Let's make sure the spiritual communication is there. Let's do everything we can to avoid temptation. Let's not rely on good intentions, and let's fight the flesh. And if we do those things, we will hear from our Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's stand this evening, please, just for a minute.